Hi guys, this is your host, OE Zephyr, with your show, Cryptocurrency, the Blockchain, and Live, a podcast by myself, OE Zephyr. I like to talk about cryptocurrency and tell some stories about myself because I come from a unique background on the Pine Ridge Reservation, home of the Oglala Lakota people. This is my fourth podcast, actually it's my 31st, but fourth in my attempt to bring you more information more often. This podcast is dedicated to the insights of cryptocurrencies and investment tips. I hope that all of you are doing beautifully. Let's get started with today's episode. But first, my disclaimer. I'm not a certified financial planner, advisor, nor a certified financial analyst, nor an economist, nor a CPA, nor an accountant, nor a lawyer. I'm not a finance professional through formal education. I'm simply a cryptocurrency and blockchain enthusiast. This is for entertainment purposes only. Follow my advice at your own risk. Let's begin. Yo, this episode I wanted to cover what I am calling the absolute beginner's guide to cryptocurrency investing. So if you're not new in the cryptocurrency space, then this is going to be boring for you. You can skip this episode or share it with somebody who needs to learn more about the cryptocurrency space and how to invest and kind of, you know, what it's about. I'm going to do my best to try to explain things. And as you know, if you're into cryptocurrency, that's a little bit difficult for somebody who doesn't know anything. So I'm going to do my best. As the tech literacy of the population increases, acceptance of crypto as a legitimate store of value follows. And it boomed. Titles along the lines of Bitcoin price hits all-time high, and Ethereum price surges. Those are some headlines that tend to hit the market or the news feeds. And they're starting to perforate the general public's view. So what we know for sure is that people who were once skeptical of Bitcoin and the technology behind it are slowly understanding and getting increasingly involved with crypto. As the time of this gathering of this information, the market cap of the entire crypto space is at $30.9 billion. It was $20 billion just 4 months ago. What would it be 4 months from now? Or what will it be 4 months from now? So the current makeup of the crypto space, what is it? You would have heard of Bitcoin and the altcoins by now, I hope. And if not, you know, the Bitcoin is the grandfather and altcoins are the grandchildren of Bitcoin, or the children of Bitcoin, so to speak. How this naming convention started was because back in the days of 2011, forks of Bitcoin appeared in the markets. The forks, or clones, each aspired to serve a niche area, aiming to be better than Bitcoin. Since then, countless new crypto has emerged, eroding away Bitcoin's crypto market cap dominance. These altcoins are gaining market share at an alarming speed. 10 times or more growth has been observed in a time span as short as 6 weeks. Cryptocurrency, stocks, and fiat. What is cryptocurrency? What is a stock and what is a fiat? You know, these are just different categories of very similar, relatable things. The currencies we know are referred to as fiat. That's the US dollar and, you know, Canadian dollar, whatever else. The Japanese yen, is that the correct fiat for Japan? So although having currency in its name, cryptocurrencies share more similarities with stocks than currencies. When you purchase some cryptocurrency, you're in fact buying some tech stock, a part of the blockchain and a piece of the network. The most common place where people buy and trade cryptocurrency is on the exchanges. Some common exchanges many use are Bitfinex, Binance, Huobi, Coinbase, Gemini, and so on. Exchanges are places where you may buy and sell your crypto using fiat. There are multiple measures to judge the reliability and quality of an exchange, such as liquidity, spread, fees, purchase and withdrawal limits, trading volume, security, insurance, and user friendliness. Out of all these, I find Coinbase as the best exchange hands down for the beginner. It has a beginner-friendly user interface and an unbeatable 100% crypto insurance. After setting up an intermediary bank account and verifying your details with Coinbase, you are only 5 simple steps away from a Bitcoin purchase. Now, setting up a bank account and verifying your details can take a couple days, so give us some time. Create it now. Go to coinbase.com. You know, connect your bank account, connect your debit card if you want to start buying some crypto. But I'm going to warn you now, and I'm going to warn you again later. Only invest what you're willing to lose. So don't invest your car payment. Don't invest your rent. Don't invest your mortgage. Only what you're willing to lose. After setting up your intermediary bank account, verifying your details with Coinbase, you're only 5 simple steps away from the Bitcoin purchase. We're going to go through some of it. So if you're on Coinbase.com and you're wondering how to go about using it, here are some simple steps. Now, when you're logged in, access and click the Buy Sell Bitcoin tab, or whatever cryptocurrency you're interested in, but in this case, we're buying Bitcoin. So let's buy some Bitcoin, hypothetically. So click on the Buy Sell Bitcoin tab. Select the payment method using the drop-down menu. The options are your linked bank account or your linked debit card, credit card. Your bank account takes 7 days if you're going to use it to purchase crypto. So be ready to wait. And of course, we don't like to wait, so use a credit card or debit card, and they are instant. Enter the desired amount in crypto that you're willing to invest in US dollars. So if you want to buy $100 worth of Bitcoin, you can buy $100 worth of Bitcoin. If you want to buy $5 worth of Bitcoin, you can buy $5 worth of Bitcoin. Click the Buy Bitcoin Instantly button. That's the next step. The crypto you purchase can be viewed in your dashboard. So go to your dashboard. In your Bitcoin wallet, you should see, you know, in Bitcoin, US dollar amount. That's how much US dollars you have in Bitcoin. The number is some fractionated number, some ridiculously fractionated number, like 0.002 Bitcoin or 3 Bitcoin, depending on how much you invested. You know, I think right now that would be about $100, 0.02. Going from memory. Okay. So right now, 1 Bitcoin at this moment, well, I think one Bitcoin at the moment is about $6,500. Think of it like stock. If you want to own 1 Bitcoin, you need to put in $6,500 at the current price. Whatever the current price is, and it fluctuates, so it's going to change from minute to minute. However, there are over 2,000 cryptocurrencies. Some are scams, so watch out. And again, invest only what you're willing to lose. Many, though, are legitimate, and their prices range from fractions of a penny to a price like $6,500 for Bitcoin. On Coinbase, you can buy $5 worth of Bitcoin. So if you wanted, you can invest only $5. Got it? Or you can invest thousands of dollars. Let's say you only wanted to invest $100. At today's price of $6,500 per Bitcoin, for $100, you could buy a fraction of a Bitcoin, which would be about 0.178, somewhere around there, Bitcoin. 0.176, hypothetically. So in your Coinbase account, you will have 0.176. Oh, 0.0176. That is equal to, say, 100 US dollars. When 1 Bitcoin is worth $6,500, this is key. $6,500 is where you bought in at. Whatever percentage the Bitcoin price drops below $6,500, which is the price you bought $100 USD worth at, that's how much percentage you lose of your $100. That makes sense? Let's try, say, okay, we're using the figure 6,500. Let's say you bought in at 6,500. and Bitcoin price drops $640. And that's just the easy number. And 10%. Drops 10%. Now, of your $100 you have in Bitcoin, you lost 10%. So you now have $90 worth of Bitcoin. But flip that, and Bitcoin price goes $650 above $6,500. I'm using numbers because I can't do the math in my head that fast. So you know Bitcoin goes up $650. That means your $100 gained 10%. So you know now you're at $110, say. So likewise, whatever percentage Bitcoin price increases over $6,500 is how much percentage profit you make on your $100. So again, if Bitcoin price doubles, you now have $200. Does that make sense? If you cash out your Bitcoin at, say, $13,000, because the price of Bitcoin is now $13,000, you doubled your investment. Likewise, if you buy a small cap coin that costs only 10 cents each, but you bought $100 worth, and now that 10 cent triples to, you know, 30 cents, your $100 worth of coins is now worth $300. If you cash out before it drops in price again, that's the trick. You must use an exchange that has stop limits or stop losses. So you don't have to watch the market 24/7. You set your limits and you walk away. Go to sleep. If the price reaches your limits, it sells your coins for you at a profit automatically, or at a 5% loss instead of a 20% loss. When you get acquainted with buying crypto, you start to itch for some crypto trading. For example, Bitcoin for Ethereum. Simply perform an instant transfer from Coinbase to GDAX, also known as Coinbase Pro, free of charge, and start trading. Think of Coinbase as a place to conveniently buy and store your crypto, and GDAX as your margin trading platform. Transfers between the two are instant and free. So, how do you do it? Real quick. If you're logged into Coinbase.com, go to GDAX.com. That is GDAX.com or Coinbase Pro. And you should be able to log in because you're already logged in your Coinbase account. You would have to go to your wallet, you know, transfer your Bitcoin from your Coinbase wallet to your GDAX wallet or Coinbase Pro wallet. And that should be free. That's how that's done. So as you slowly get familiar with other currencies, you might want to have the option of investing in them. Bittrex and Polo are two exchanges that offer a wide selection range. For small cap coins, I like to go to Cryptopia. I don't use it that often, but I've gone there and I've used it and I purchased some small cap coins there. When signing up on these exchanges, how do you do that? Okay. So if you wanted to buy small cap coins at Cryptopia, some coin that's, you know, a fraction of a penny, and there's the market is very small on it, you would transfer your Bitcoin from your Coinbase Pro account to your Cryptopia account, Cryptopia Bitcoin wallet, and then use your Bitcoin to buy whatever coin you're looking at in Cryptopia. See, it gets a little confusing, and explaining this is kind of difficult. So I'm doing what I can, and if you need to listen to this podcast again, go right ahead. So when signing up on these exchanges for the first time, do make it a point to verify your account with the required documents early, as you do not want to be caught in the middle of some tedious and slow admin work when the trading opportunity comes. Verification on these exchanges may take days, and purchase withdrawal limits may only increase gradually as you trade. I signed up for a Gemini account months ago, and I don't really use Gemini, but recently I thought I might try to use it. You know, I'm a get away from Binance and try to use Gemini. Well, I logged into Gemini and Gemini said, "You're not verified." So I went to my verification settings and It said your verification is pending. You know, I don't even remember the last time I logged into Gemini. So this pending verification of my identification has been sitting there for months. At least, I don't know, February, March, I'm going to say. So it's been sitting there for months. And I emailed them, you know, hey, what's up? My verification is pending. I logged in. I started this months ago, and there's still nothing. They said, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. We have a high volume. Is volume really that high? That it's going to take you 6 months to verify my account, or 8 months? I don't even know how long it's been, but it's been about that long. Anyway, that's been my experience with Gemini. So, but they're covered, I think, for a certain dollar amount, or they're insured for a certain dollar amount for each account. So if it gets hacked, your money's safe up to a certain dollar amount. And of course, you're going to want to read their agreement, their legal agreement when you sign up to understand that. It's probably in legalese, so good luck with that. Hire a lawyer if you have the money to do so. So when signing up on these exchanges for the first time, do make it a point to verify your account as soon as possible. An additional point to note, if you are using a currency other than USD, that's the US dollar, do check out the exchange's ease of funding and withdrawal. There are limits. You might only be able to withdraw 1 Bitcoin per day, 2 Bitcoin per day, or and so on. So you don't want your exchange to come into fiat withdrawal problems like Bitfinex did recently. There is this other little thing which is part of the industry called cryptocurrency wallet. And I kind of mentioned earlier, if you have a Bitcoin, you want to have a Bitcoin wallet. If you have Ethereum, you want to have a Ethereum wallet to store it in. There are hot wallets, there are cold wallets, there are paper wallets. The safest method is paper wallets or the Nano Ledger hardware wallet. The safest methods. You don't want to store your wallets on your computer and store your crypto on your computer, because any malware can steal your crypto if it has your key. And the key is like a long password. I don't know how many characters it is. I've never really counted, but it's long. So, cryptocurrency wallets. Exchanges have inbuilt online wallets to keep the cryptocurrency you purchased. However, for those who heard of the Mt. Gox hack, was I think 2014, you might feel a little uneasy to put your cryptocurrency in an exchange or just leave it in an exchange. I think it was last year somebody tried to hack Binance. And what happened was they deposited some Bitcoin or some cryptocurrency in order to, you know, fake a withdrawal. But in their hack, their cryptocurrency, in their hack, it kind of, the security measures of Binance kind of locked down the whole system, just locked everything down. Nobody could send out anything. They couldn't do anything at that moment. So the hackers lost their cryptocurrency. And I didn't follow up on if they ever figured out who it was or track them down or what, but they lost their cryptocurrency due to that. So that kind of drew me towards Binance, and that and the stop loss and stop limits within their trading platform. Okay, let's move on again. So if you do not wish to keep your crypto holdings on the exchange, you have the option to either use a paper wallet service like myetherwallet.com or spend 99 USD, that's US dollars, on a hardware wallet like KeepKey or the Nano Ledger S. You can find those things on Amazon. So both serve the purpose of removing platform risk at the cost of taking up the responsibility of keeping your cryptocurrency safe. To transfer your crypto from exchanges to your hardware wallet for long-term storage, simply follow these steps, using Coinbase and KeepKey as an example. Plug in your KeepKey USB cable. Open your KeepKey client on Google Chrome under Apps. Find your wallet address on the KeepKey client user interface. Access your Coinbase Send Request tab and input your KeepKey wallet address. So you're just going to copy and paste your KeepKey wallet address into the Send Request tab of Coinbase. Confirm the amount and click send funds. Take note to first send a tiny amount, like 0.0001 Bitcoin for testing, before sending the bulk. If you screw up and you did it wrong, I pray for you. You lost it. You can't get your money back. It's gone forever. Unless, oh, I don't even know. I think I've done it once. No. You know what I did? I was messing with a new wallet that I just downloaded. And I was kind of playing around with it. I think I put $100 in there. I was playing around with it. I should have put $10 in there before doing anything. You know, it's something, some small amount. And I was messing around with the backup settings and backed up my wallet. And then I was like, here's another wallet. Because you could create multiple wallets within a app, right? And I deleted my first wallet that had my Bitcoin, thinking, oh, I could just, you know, refresh and I'm going to have my money in there. And nope, it don't work like that. Oh, and I didn't save my keys. I lost $100. You know, it hurts a little bit. It stings a little bit. I'm not a wealthy man. So, don't do that. Don't do that. Always back up your wallets and always save the keys. And don't let that happen to you. So, wallets like KeepKey or the Ledger Nano S both serve the purpose of removing the platform risk at the cost of taking up the responsibility of keeping your cryptocurrency safe. To transfer your crypto from exchanges to your hardware wallet for long-term simple storage, simply follow the steps I gave you earlier. Plug in your KeepKey USB cable, open your KeepKey client, find your wallet address in the KeepKey client user interface, access Coinbase send request tab, and input your KeepKey wallet address, then confirm and click send. So that's that. Got it. It's confusing, I know. Also, the hardware wallet's user interface makes it easy to keep multiple coins, which is especially handy when you participate in ICOs or initial coin offerings. It's kind of like an IPO when a coin is new to the market. So, cryptocurrency as a percentage of your investment portfolio. This is kind of, you know, how much, you know, think of cryptocurrency as a risky investment and what is your comfort level with that? I'm going to say conservatively 10% of your investment portfolio. So, this part will be wildly subjective. Crypto has a potential to realize many rags to riches stories, but its volatility makes it unpredictable. As a precaution, the money you put in your crypto should be money that you are fine with losing. I cannot emphasize this enough. The importance of this, as we often underestimate how the volatility affects our emotional capacities, the upside is huge, but it comes with lots of risks. And if I may put it, emotional torment. So a conservative portfolio, I would suggest it as follows. Oh, well, a portfolio I would suggest as follows. A risky portfolio. I would say 30% crypto, 50% traditional investments. Moderate risk, 20% crypto, 60% traditional investments. Conservative risk, 10% crypto, 70% traditional investments. But of course, again, this part is wildly subjective. Within the designated crypto share of your portfolio, you may diversify your coins based on your risk appetite. Remember one thing, do not invest more than you're willing to lose. Don't invest $500 that's laying around rather than $500 you were going to use for rent. Ready, show me the money! Cryptocurrency investing. Now this is where it gets exciting. How do we pick the winning cryptocurrency? How do we avoid picking the loser? Note that crypto is now in a huge bull market and anything could rise over time. Also, do not dismiss the possibility that we may be in a bubble like the dot-com boom back in 2000. Still ask yourself these questions before you decide to invest in a coin. Are my investments safe with a development team? The first rule investing should always be the preservation of capital. Can you trust the development team with your money? Who are they? Are their identities revealed on their website? Is it legitimate? I recently saw a man on Twitter tweet that he did not give his permission to use his identity in the development team of another website. Do your research. Check that person's Twitter account, those developers' Twitter's account, to see what they're tweeting about and if it's about that coin you're interested in. Are you about to leave your money with founders who have been involved in previous scams? If you see these telling signs, back off immediately. Be very careful of loan programs. I want to say, what was BitConnect? Was that one? Anyway, it's a peer-to-peer lending program. You sign up and people can lend you cryptocurrency, and you know, you could cash it out, and but you're supposed to pay it back within a certain time period, and they earn a percentage, and there's a lot of scams like that, so be very careful. Okay, where was I? So if you see those telling signs, back off immediately. The coin's prices might grow for all you care, but it is just not worth it to put your capital at such risk. Does my coin of interest have a long-term plan? If you cannot understand their yellow paper, at least read their white paper. What is the team trying to achieve? Do they have the means or have they already worked towards their goals? What are their timelines and their milestones? Does my coin of interest seem like a well-marked marketed plan with no backup? Lots of ICOs these days just have a pretty webpage, and then they're shipped out to sell. Watch out for these. Are they able to deliver? How long should I stay in this? Do I have an exit plan? There will be coins where you do not want to hold forever, but wish to flip for some short-term gains. Learn to recognize price actions, signals. In this case, be sure to set a time frame or an exit price to reduce the effect of emotions on your trades. Stick to your plan and watch your emotions. Does it have a real-world use case? Some coins seem to keep increasing in value simply due to simple supply and demand factors. Watch out. This trend might not be sustainable, probably isn't sustainable. For a coin to have long-term supported value, it must have a real-world use case eventually. Look out for coins that look too much like a get-rich-quick scheme. They probably are. They just want your money. Short-term trading with margin. This is for more advanced traders. Once you get familiarized with crypto, you may want to trade your stash in hopes of increasing it. For the experienced forex traders, this is nothing new. But for the new crypto investor, you may want to brief up on how to make a leveraged trade. You know, there are times when you make a trade in the Bitcoin network, there are fees. So the website you're using might charge a fee, and then the Bitcoin network might charge a fee. And it depends on how clogged up the network gets for that fee. One time last year, I sent some Bitcoin and the fee was like $60. I sent $100. The fee was 60 bucks. I was like, oh my God, what happened? At the time, you know, I was kind of new to crypto. So I was really like, what the hell? You know, I looked into it and that's what happened. It was the Bitcoin network fees, 60 bucks it took. Man. So in that case, what I did was I started buying Ethereum instead because the networks aren't that pricey. Currently, I made a trade on Binance and it charged me about $10 for the trade. Fees are getting high again. So just be careful for your network fees, your Bitcoin network fees. They go up there. All right. Where am I at? Okay, let's move on. So short-term trading takes advantages of incoming news to make a quick buck. If you foresee good news from an upcoming release of a coin, you may want to open a long and see how it goes. Remember, buy the rumor, sell the news. Act fast and be daring if you wish to make a profit for short-term trading. Buy the rumor, sell the news. Mining. You can mine Bitcoin. What does that mean? It means you need a piece of hardware, computer hardware. And for Bitcoin, they make special hardware mining devices for this. And they're kind of pricey. I think about $2,500, somewhere around there at the moment. So for those who are more comfortable with a predictable form of reward, mining is the way. Now, you can do it on your own, or you can use, say, cloud mining. There's websites like Hashflare.io, Genesis Mining. Those are the only two I trust at the moment. There are lots out there, so be careful. There are lots, and if they promise like something that Genesis Mining and Hashflare don't promise, it's probably a scam. So for those who are more comfortable with a predictable form of reward, mining could be the way. Mining involves setting up a rig consisting of GPUs or CPUs and an investment in electricity. Mining is only possible on a cryptocurrencies that follow the proof of work protocol. Electricity is one of the most costly parts of mining. So if you have access to free or inexpensive electricity, mining may be the way to go for you. It takes some effort to set up and get things running, but it is attractive as long as long-term passive income, as long as you front-load the work. There are websites you can pay for hashing rates through. They host all the equipment. You can just select how much you want to invest. Typically, it starts at $100, but if you want to make an acceptable return in 1 year, I would start with at least $500. Staking. Staking is the proof of stake version of mining. Think of this as making dividends on your stock. The reward rate and staking method differ greatly among proof of stake coins, but in general, it takes less effort as compared to mining. One example of staking coin is a small cap privacy coin I like to talk about, known as Deep Onion. Arbitrage Inc. Arbitrage. As you get a hand in multiple exchanges, you may wish to buy from one exchange and sell on another to make arbitrage gains. Now, these are staking, mining, arbitraging. They're for more advanced people in the cryptocurrency space. But these are just some steps you could take and advancements you can make to make more money. One example, I'm going to talk about mining a little bit again. Say you have a YouTube channel and you're mining, or you want to get people into mining with your YouTube channel. You can use an affiliate link from, say, Genesis or Hashflare, and just add that to your YouTube channel and get people to sign up using that. And if they do, you get, a portion, an affiliate commission from Hashflare or Genesis Mining. I'm not sure which one or if both do affiliate links, but I don't see why they wouldn't. When people sign up, your hashing rate in your mining will go up, dependent upon how much they purchase using your link. So that's the case there. And that's just one free way. Well, not really free. You're putting in work, making videos, and you're adding an affiliate link and hopefully getting your viewers to sign up. That's one other method to increase your mining. So, arbitraging. Take note of two things if you wish to do so. Remember to factor in fees, and remember that the price could change when you are transferring your coin between exchanges, especially during volatile times. USD tends to be liquid, so this happens less for it. But for other currencies, such as the Canadian dollar and the Singapore dollar, there may exist arbitraging opportunities to exploit. Now, we're talking about Forex there, but the concept is the same. You can use cryptocurrencies, Singapore dollars, or what else is there? Ethereum, Bitcoin. Man, there are thousands. And in exchange, one of the will create trading pairs, you know, Bitcoin for US dollar, Bitcoin for Ethereum, Bitcoin for TNT, Bitcoin for whatever. There's just so many opportunities out there. Now, I hope I confused you and you do not want to get into Bitcoin because it's so confusing. It's not for the lazy person, that's for sure. But I assure you, it is the currency of the future. And at least the currency for pro-choice currency people like Charlie Shrem. Yeah, Charlie. Well, guys, this is it for today's podcast. Tune in on the next podcast for the next episode of Amazing Cryptocurrency Updates and Tips. Let me know what you like. And I think this is 31, did I say? And in episode 33, I have a topic I want to cover, and I want to talk about using cryptocurrency or the blockchain in developing countries to help, you know, stabilize economies or whatever. We're gonna talk about that a little bit. So tune in then. Let me know what you liked and disliked about this episode, what you want me to improve upon. Your feedback will be a great help, and it will allow me to tailor my podcast more devoted to your suggestions. Don't forget to subscribe to my podcast and my social handles, OZ Inspires on IG and Twitter, to stay updated about the ever-changing crypto financial environment. Goodbye, and I will see you next time.